Assalamu alaikum, my dear listeners. Welcome to Thursday's Bedtime Reading. I pray that you're all well. Just to recap, last week we learnt about the Prophet's regular visits to the Mount of Hira. We learnt the sacrifice Khadija Radhiyallahu Anha used to make to allow the Prophet to spend time in isolation to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, such a sacrifice that we can't understand. You know, to leave, allow your loved one to spend so many days away from yourself and your family. You know, what a great sacrifice Khadija really used to make. So inshallah, this week we'll continue with chapter 11 called When Life Changed. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rat-a-tat-tat, the banging on the door echoed throughout the rooms of Khadija Radhiyallahu's house, breaking the silence. All had been calm, the children asleep. The only light was the dim glow of an oil lamp. Rat-a-tat-tat! Rat-a-tat-tat! Khadija Radhiyallahu Anha wondered who it could possibly be at this hour. She got up to look. Abul Qasim? She asked tentatively. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been on Mount Nur at the cave of Hira for days and had not come home to collect more provisions. Worried, she had sent someone to look for him. Perhaps the knock on the door was her servant bringing back some news. As she slowly unfastened the latch and pulled open the door, she recognised the pale, awe-stricken face of her husband trembling before her. Khadija radhiyallahu anha reached out to offer her hand to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who slowly staggered in through the door. What could have caused him to be in such a state? Wrap me up, wrap me up, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam whispered urgently. Quickly and silently, Khadija radhiyallahu anha brought a blanket to calm his shivering frame. Her wisdom told her that this was not the time to be asking questions, and so, after she had patiently brought him blankets, she sat quietly next to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, allowing him some moments to gather himself. When Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heartbeat had calmed and his shivering subsided, he caught his breath and was ready to speak. He began to tell Khadija radhiyallahu anha what had caused his terror. He had been up on the mountain in the cave of Hira when someone appeared in front of him out of thin air. The being looked, for all intents and purposes, like a man, yet he was no mere mortal. He was a heavenly being in human form. Read, celestial creator commanded. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sure that this was an angel, the same angel, in fact, who he had met once while playing in Halima's yard as a little boy. Having never been schooled, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was perplexed by the angel's demand. He replied cautiously, "I do not know how to read." At that, the angel had grabbed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and held him so forcefully that he took his breath away. "He then released me," Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, "and again asked me to read. I replied, 'I cannot read.' He grabbed me and embraced me hard for a second time until I was exhausted, then released me and asked me to again read. I said, 'I cannot read.' He then took me and embraced me intensely for the third time. Then he released me and recited the first few verses of Surah, this following Surah, which in English translates to, 'Read in the name of your Lord who created everything. He has created man from a clot. Read, and your Lord is the most generous. He who taught man the use of the pen, taught man that which he knew not.'" It's the start of Surah Al-Alaq. What were these wondrous words, the likes of which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had never heard before? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized that he was being asked to recite and repeat after the angel, not to read from anything. So, he repeated the glorious words that the angel recited to him, just as he heard them. Fear suddenly crept over him, and he stumbled down the craggy slope of the mountain in alarm. He wondered what this all meant. He wanted to know who the stranger on the mountain really was, and why he had imprinted these powerful words into his heart, such that he could never forget them. Khadija radhiyallahu anha listened intently to all that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam related. He couldn't put his finger on what this all meant. When he had finished, still enveloped in blankets, he looked up into Khadija radhiyallahu anha's eyes. "I am fearful for myself," he confessed to her. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had many questions in his mind. Was Allah punishing him? Was it some sort of madness that had overtaken him? Khadija radhiyallahu anha shook her head at any such suggestion. "Never, by Allah," she said confidently. "Allah will never disgrace you, for you keep good relations with your kith and kin. You speak the truth, you help the poor, you give money to the needy, you are generous to your guests, you help people who are suffering from hardship." She turned to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's glowing face, gazed into his clear, dark eyes, and said firmly, "He would never forsake you." Khadija radhiyallahu anha had no doubt that a man as God-conscious as her husband would never be abandoned by Allah. She was certain that Allah would protect him. There was only one person she could think of who was sure to be able to shed light on the strange ordeal. So, as soon as they were ready, they headed to his house. "Oh, my nephew, what have you seen?" asked Waraka, looking blankly ahead. In the year since Khadija Runya's marriage, Waraka had grown so old that he'd lost his eyesight. Nonetheless, his mind was as sharp as ever. When Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recounted the events of that day, Waraka's eyes widened with wonder. "This is the same archangel whom Allah sent to Musa," he cried. That could only mean one thing in Waraka's mind. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Musa alayhi salam, was a chosen messenger of Allah. Then, Waraka's gleeful expression turned into a worried frown. "How I wish that I were young and could live until the time your people try to drive you out," he lamented. "Will they drive me out?" Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah, asked solemnly. It was inconceivable to him, the grandson of the great Abdul Muttalib, loved and respected by all in Mecca, that a day might come when his people would actually disown him. "Yes," Waraka replied gravely, "never has a man come with anything similar to what you have, but that he had treated with enmity. If I could live to see that day, I would surely support you with all my might." And as the predictions fell from Waraka's lips, the realization dawned upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Khadija radhiyallahu anha that life would never be the same again. Subhanallah, what a great chapter. Not have we only learnt about the first words of Allah passed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. We also learnt and saw how Khadija radhiyallahu anha was such a dutiful wife, a devoted wife, you know, gave comfort to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reassured the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, this just shows the love that Khadija radhiyallahu anha would have had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And inshallah, we'll get to see the sacrifice that she also made in the early years of the Prophethood for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I really can't wait to read next week's chapter, inshallah. And just before we finish, a few reminders to my wonderful listeners. First and foremost, with it being the night of Friday, Shabbat Jummah, a humble request for all listeners to, first and foremost, themselves or yourselves, recite Durood abundantly and send it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But also encourage our family members and friends to also do the same, inshallah. And like we've been doing for the last few weeks, I would like to read another hadith regarding the giving of charity. As a reminder that charity is a great thing to do if we can spare any small change, any kind act. You know, they say sadaqah extinguishes Allah's fire, you know, Allah's anger. So inshallah, we should all try to do as much as we can to try and give in charity. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Someone asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as to what kind of sadaqah was most rewardable. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, when at the time of giving sadaqah you are in good health, you have greed for wealth, you fear to become poor and have a keen desire to become rich, that is the opportunity. Do not postpone it till the last moment of your life and then say, so much to do and so, and so much to that masjid and that much to such and such madrasa, etc. Although actually now the property belongs to so and so, the heirs of that person. And this has come from the Kitab of Mishkat. And just before we sign off this evening, my dear listeners, a reminder again to always go to sleep by reciting the bedtime dua. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. And if you remember, to always try to read the kalima before we also go to sleep, inshallah. Jazakallah again for tuning in. Until next week, assalamu alaikum.